So with that, I think we're ready to kick off this session. Today's speaker is Dr. Jeff Marcosi from ESTCP. Dr. Marcosi is currently the Technical Director of CERTIP and the Director of ESTCP. Prior to his current position, Dr. Marcosi served as a Program Manager for Environmental Technology in the Office of the Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Environmental Security. He was the Principal Advisor to the Deputy Undersecretary on Environmental Technology Issues. Before joining DOD, he worked at the Institute for Defense Analyses, where he advised both DOD and NASA in the areas of remote sensing, environmental matters, and military surveillance. Dr. Marcosi has worked at Stanford University, the University of California, and the National Institute of Standards and Technologies. He has a PhD from MIT in physical chemistry. Before I turn it over to Jeff, I'm going to remind phone participants to put your phones on mute. And if you don't have a mute button, you can hit *6 now and #6 to unmute. And please, once again, do not put us on hold. So at this time, Jeff, I will turn it over to you.
Thanks a lot.
Who's doing the conference?
I appreciate the chance to tell you a little bit about ESTCP.
Just did it, you know, just at lunch. That's why I can't, you know.
And more specifically, about the funding opportunities we recently released for projects to be funded next fiscal year. If you turn to the next slide, I think it's labeled slide one on the web, you'll see the logos for our two programs in the Department of Defense, which fund environmental technology, research, and development. One of the programs, the Strategic Environmental Research Development Program, CERTIP, we manage out of this office, funds basic applied research. But today we're going to focus on our other program, the Environmental Security Technology Certification, or ESTCP, which funds demonstration and validation. Turning to the next slide, let me tell you a little bit about ESTCP and its program goals. ESTCP, as I said, is a demonstration program. Its purpose is to demonstrate innovative environmental technologies at Department of Defense facilities. It was established to try to take advantage of past investments in research across the country. We fund demonstrations of technology which have received funding in the past from the Department of Defense, from other federal agencies, or purely funded in the private sector. Our interest is in funding new technologies which address Department of Defense environmental issues, independent of where their development funding comes from. We give no preference to CERTIP projects, even though we manage that program, and treat all development equally. Our goal is to move these technologies out of the laboratory and into the field. We intend to try to demonstrate their effectiveness, both in terms of cost and environmental performance, and to do the groundwork to allow them to transition rapidly to implementation in DOD. That means gaining the acceptance of regulators at times.
Has joined the conference.
As well as the acceptance of DOD.
Jason Hardback
has left the conference.
Moving on to the next slide, which shows a simple diagram of the environmental technology development process, just to help you understand a little bit more clearly of where ESTCP sits, in our view, in the spectrum. In the Department of Defense, all of our research and technology development is driven by the requirements of our end users, the people who manage our facilities or are responsible for environmental safety and occupational health issues. We fund advanced technology and basic research through the CERTIP program. As I said before, ESTCP then takes those technologies from CERTIP or from other development organizations and demonstrates them so that they can move on to full implementation at the Department of Defense. ESTCP does not do full implementation itself. We do not fund operational cleanups. We do not fund implementation for unique DOD facility problems. We are an R&D program interested in transitioning technologies which have been previously developed
has joined the conference
out into the operational world. Moving on to the next chart, labeled environmental drivers, let me just quickly give you a broad view of what drives our investment strategy. We think of it in two broad categories. One is the environmental issues, which are critical to the sustainability of our range and the facilities that must operate those range. This is a wide variety of issues, ranging from air emissions natural resource issues, encroachment issues, noise, and many more that are not listed on this chart. We look at about half of our investment going towards supporting sustainability in the broadest sense of our ranges and facilities. The next chart, also labeled environmental drivers, shows where perhaps about 50% of the rest of our investment goes to. And that is to both reducing the cost of our current environmental liabilities and preventing future liabilities. As many of you probably know, we have a significant investment in advancing the technologies that address environmental cleanup of hazardous materials and unexploded ordnance for military munitions, and we plan to continue that for the foreseeable future. We also have a significant investment in reducing hazardous materials and doing pollution prevention on our weapon systems manufacturing and maintenance infrastructure. Our goal there is to really green the entire infrastructure of the Department of Defense, both to be improve our environmental performance, but also to improve our military performance and make it more cost effective. Turning to the next chart, which is labeled Environmental Quality Taxonomy, this shows you how we both manage as well as solicit for projects in the Environmental Security Technology Certification Program. We have four focus areas, which are labeled here, which run the gamut from weapon systems and platforms, which deal with military unique equipment, to munitions management, dealing with the life cycle issues of cleaning up unexploded ordnance, through environmental restoration, dealing with classic environmental problems in soils, sediments, groundwater, and surface water, to what we call sustainable infrastructure, which addresses both the natural and fixed infrastructure necessary for the military to do its operation in the U.S. on DoD basis. Turning to the next chart, which I think is...
Jeff, may I interrupt? There was a question on that previous slide, and the question was, which taxonomy would cover renewable energy?
That's in our sustainable infrastructure. We view energy for our facilities, and specifically renewable energy, as a critical component if we're going to have our infrastructure really reach sustainability, which is a long-term goal. Let me spend a moment just explain broadly about ESTC's methodology and what we envision projects to do during their lifetime. Our basic approach, independent of what the technical issue is to try to create teams which partner technology developers with stakeholders who hold the problem at our facilities, to bring together end users as well as regulators and other decision makers to assess new technologies in an operational environment so that they can make decisions whether they meet their needs and then hopefully, if successful, transition them quite rapidly. We believe that to do this, we need to test these new technologies under realistic operational conditions. We need to have some independent evaluation of both their performance as well as their cost to satisfy all people who are involved in making a decision to implement a technology. And finally, we recognize that even if you've done all that, you have to do additional work to make it easy for people to implement these. And so we have a rather aggressive and significant effort in technology transfer to make sure DoD end users both know about these new technologies and have the opportunity and tools to implement them. Specifically at the project level, on the next chart titled Project Requirements, is listed the formal requirements for all our projects. We require every project, before it goes to the field for its technology demonstration, to document its plans in detail in a formal demonstration plan. These plans go through an independent technical review and often go through more than one iteration to establish a rigorous test protocol to assess all the issues that are important for implementing this technology. Obviously, the key component where most resources are spent are executing the technology demonstration, where data about performance and cost can be collected. We require all projects to document in detail both the results of these demonstrations and to provide summary reports that are more accessible for decision makers and end users who may not have the time or the technical background to read a large, detailed technical report. And finally, in support of the technology transfer issue I mentioned previously. We do support on a project basis for what I might call the soft end of technology demonstration. That is, those things which may range from writing protocols to doing classroom training to developing web-based guidance documents to making boilerplate procurement documents that will enable the technology to transition rapidly to multiple end users, not just the facility where it's been demonstrated. Let me give you a little history of ESTC's funding and past solicitations before I talk about the FY 2009 solicitation. On the next chart, labeled ESTC, the FY 2008 funding actually shows the funding for the last several years and the projected funding out to fiscal year FY 13. The program has had stable funding ranging approximately $30 to $35 million a year. It occasionally will get additional funding from Congress that's not requested by the department. Our expectation is that at a minimum, Congress will appropriate what's listed as the FY09 budget there, and that we will be able to fund all projects that we do select in this upcoming solicitation. Obviously, we're dependent on the appropriation process in Congress, but historically, that has never been an issue for the program. Turning to the next chart is a very broad overview of what we call our solicitation process. ESTCP runs three parallel solicitations currently, as we do each year. A Department of Defense call, open only to DoD agencies and services, a broad agency announcement call, open to any private sector entity, universities, and for-profit corporations, and what's called the federal call, open to other federal agencies outside the Department of Defense. The broad agency call and the federal call are identical, in fact. The reason we feel necessary to go through three separate calls is that our demonstrations are required to take place on DoD facilities or DoD properties in which the environmental issue is wholly or partially the responsibility of the Department of Defense. It would be very difficult to ask an external developer from a company, a university, or another federal agency to know where those locations are. Department of Defense folks do know where those locations are, so we have structured the solicitation to allow folks who do not already have partners with the Department of Defense to create partnerships through us and help identify places where the demonstration can take place. The steps in each of those calls are very parallel, but as you'll see in the next several charts, there are some important differences between the Department of Defense call and the other two calls, broad agency announcement and the federal call. Turning to the next chart, let me briefly go through the Department of Defense call. This call, like the other two, were issued last week. It's a very broad solicitation for demonstration validation projects that address Department of Defense environmental requirements. In short, it asks for any technology who is mature enough and could benefit to go through a formal demonstration, which addresses a significant environmental issue which appears on Department of Defense facilities, to submit a short pre-proposal. To respond to that call, you must be a Department of Defense organization. That can be an agency or a service component. If it's submitted from there, our expectation is that that agency or service will be responsible for managing the project as well as any contracting actions associated with it. Those pre-proposals will be reviewed through a competitive process, and a down-selected and full proposals will be requested, with modifications recommended. Those selected will have to submit a longer, detailed technical proposal and present an oral presentation here in our offices in Washington, D.C. area. Turning to the other two calls, the broad agency and federal non-DoD, these calls, as I mentioned before, are different than the DoD call because they're about creating partnerships which are difficult to create without our assistance. We, in this case, for management reasons, have narrowed the topics which can be submitted, and I'll go through those shortly. where we've called for technologies in these selected topic areas, and this year there are six separate topic areas. We've asked for pre-proposals, which are five-page white papers, which focus on the details of the technical issue to be addressed. And through a competitive process, we will down-select those pre-proposals we wish people to submit full proposals for. If you are selected to submit a full proposal, we will identify a DoD liaison, an individual from one of the services who will help you put a full proposal together, who will provide the information you require to try to identify potential sites or a specific site to do a demonstration. If you are from a private sector organization or from another federal agency and you wish to submit a pre-proposal, but you already have identified a DoD partner, we certainly welcome that as well. We are happy to allow you to pre-select your DoD partner, but if you don't already have one, it does not make a difference, and we will identify one for you. As for the DoD call, if you're selected, a more detailed written proposal will be required and an oral presentation as well, and I'll go through the dates for these shortly. Before going through more details on our FY 2009 solicitation, let me just give you a little data so you have a sense of what the competition's like from last year's, the FY 2008 solicitation. Skipping past that chart to the actual data on the ESTCP 2008 solicitation, you'll see on this chart we presented the data for the two calls, the DoD call, and we've grouped together the broad agency announcement and the non-DoD federal. As you see, both solicitations had a rather large number of pre-proposals submitted to them, 158 from outside of DoD and 130 within it. We do an extremely significant down-selecting when we request full proposals. We do this because we recognize that full proposals and coming to give an oral briefing involve a significant commitment of time and resources from both other agencies within the Department of Defense and the private sector. Our policy is to down-select enough that on average your chance of winning if you submit a full proposal, a funded project, is approximately 50%. And as you can see in the numbers that are on this chart, that is approximately what's happened. We selected 29 projects from outside the DoD to submit full proposals. 17 have been selected, are currently in the process of being funded. 35 from within DoD, 18 were selected, and are currently being funded. The breakout between the four focus areas is shown below. That is not preset, but those numbers are rather typical. Turning to the next chart is a pie chart which shows how our 2008 funding is being allocated. I will just point out to you that a significant amount of our funding goes to continuing projects. Most projects run on average 3 years in length, so approximately a third of the program turns over each year. You can do the math to figure out what resources are available for new starts. The breakout between the different focus areas will change each year. Most significantly, the investment in sustainable infrastructure will be growing. It's a rather new focus area within ESTCP, and has grown by about 5% each year for the last several years. And our expectation is that it will grow some amount in 2009.
Jeff, I have, there is a question I think would fit in here. The question is, if a for-profit organization has pre-selected a DoD partner, can both the for-profit and their DoD partner submit a pre-proposal, a.k.a. double-dipping?
If you do that, when we review it and we're interested in it, we will go back to you and say you need to choose who submits the full proposal. It won't give you any significant advantage, so I'm not sure why one would do it, but we'll review them and we'll obviously recognize the similarity, and then we'll make a decision. Oh, I'm sorry, we'll ask you to make a decision on who you want to have the lead for the full proposal. Turning now to the 2009 solicitation, which I'm going to go briefly through the information on it. There are significant details for every topic area and details on the process, format, and other issues on our website, which I will not have time to go through now. But turning first to the DoD topics, as I mentioned earlier, we solicit along our focus areas, and we have four topics aligned with our environmental restoration, military munitions, weapons system platform, and sustainable infrastructure. These are very broad, and so I'm not going to go further into them because they really cover the whole gamut of environmental issues the Department of Defense faces. Turning to the broad agency announcement and federal topics, there's a list of six topics which we have put a solicitation out for. Rather than read them on this chart here, let me turn individually to them one by one. The next chart shows a brief description of our topic area remediation of contaminated groundwater. This is an area we've invested in for many years now and have had a great success in moving innovative technology out to the DoD operational cleanup program. Our focus is on contaminants which are common in groundwater across the Department of Defense. We're interested in both remediation, monitoring, and other technologies which will make our management of these environmental problems more cost-effective. We historically, traditionally focus on in-situ treatment, but for emerging contaminants in which there are limited options, we will consider ex-situ treatment as well. And I suggest that you look at the solicitation for additional detail. The next topic area is in-situ remediation of contaminated sediments. The department has a significant liability for contaminated sediments, both marine and estuary and freshwater. The contaminants of concern are listed there, and those are the technologies we're interested in. Again, as in groundwater, we already have a significant ongoing investment. So I always encourage folks, if they're interested in submitting a pre-proposal, to spend a little time to understand what we're already investing in so that they make sure what they're suggesting does not have an ongoing demonstration. The third topic area we've asked for proposals in, or pre-proposals, is characterization, control, and treatment of range contamination. We're looking for technologies to assist in how we manage the risk associated with our operational or what's called active ranges. If you're not familiar with the details of the technical issues we face there, I strongly encourage you to look at the report where there's a web reference or a URL at the bottom of this chart. This past summer, we conducted a technical workshop to look at the state of technology and the state of, and what needs the services have in this area. That report has a significant amount of information which will be extremely helpful for to anyone who wishes to submit a pre-proposal in this area. The next topic area, military munitions, detection, discrimination, remediation, is one we solicit for pretty much on an annual basis. We are the primary funder in the Department of Technology demonstrations having to do with unexploded ordnance cleanup, or what's called the Military Munitions Response Program. This is a solicitation looking for new technologies, whether they are hardware or software, that will make the cleanup of unexploded ordnance on our land or water sites more cost-effective. The next topic on the next chart is a new topic we're soliciting in this year having to do with natural resource issues on military bases. It's the control of non-native invasive species on land and water. These represent a significant threat and burden on managing DoD assets in land and water, and we're looking for new technologies or processes or methodologies which will allow us to more effectively manage this significant environmental issue. More details about this topic can be found in the solicitation itself. The final topic, the sixth topic, is titled Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy for DoD Installations. If you're not aware, the Department of Defense is the largest user of energy in the nation, consuming almost 1.5 to 2% of the nation's energy. This topic is focused on the energy needs of our installations here in the United States. We're looking for technologies which will allow us to both more efficiently use energy as well as produce energy in a renewable fashion. And the details are in the solicitation. Those are the current topics which are open for people outside the Department of Defense. And as I said earlier, there's significantly more information in the solicitation. On the next chart, let me just quickly walk through the dates for this solicitation. As I said at the beginning of this talk, we released the solicitation last week on January 10th. Pre-proposals are due in or into our office March 13th this year at 4 p.m. I will just have to reiterate what's stated in the solicitation. They have to be in by that time. There is no exception. They have to be submitted in accordance with the instruction in the broad agency announcement or federal call. We will make a decision based on a competitive review and contact all proposers as to whether we request the full proposal or not in the June time frame.
Has joined the conference.
Full proposals will be due then
August. Has left the conference.
Full proposals will be due August 7th in our office, and a schedule will be given to anyone who is submits a full proposal as to when to brief, generally in the September time frame here in Arlington, Virginia, with selection made shortly thereafter. Project initiation is scheduled for March 2009. For DOD leads, the money will be sent directly to them, as for other federal agencies. For private sector, whether for-profit or non-profit, a contract will have to be created through the Army Corps of Engineers, which will take up several months. All the details about this solicitation are on the website, which is listed at the bottom of this chart. And again, I really encourage you to check that solicitation details out if you're interested in submitting a pre-proposal.
Jeff, there is one question regarding pre-proposal versus full proposal. It says, do proposals not invited at the pre-proposal stage die, or can you submit a full proposal without an invite?
No. Only full proposals which have been requested under the review of the pre-proposals will be reviewed. Full proposals submitted that were not requested or who had not submitted pre-proposals will not be read and returned unreviewed. Turning now to the next chart, just to give you a little input on how we do make this down selection, there are a number of criteria which we call pass-fail, and then there are more criteria that are listed below which serve to rank proposals. Obviously, if the pre-proposal is not relevant to one of the topic areas we've put out, we will not review it. The more subtle one is the question of whether the technology is appropriate for demonstration, which we often get asked. We're looking for technologies who have already developed their proof of concept, but for one reason or another are not at the stage in which they're widely implemented, and that would benefit from demonstration under operational conditions. So we look to see if the technology is mature enough in the sense that the proof of principle and the laboratory work has been completed, but we also make sure this is not a technology widely used, because we are not a procurement organization serving to buy things or services. We are an R&D program looking to demonstrate technologies. Any proposal or pre-proposal which passes those two gates will then be reviewed to look at its technical merit, its cost-benefit, whether they've considered things that will aid in the technology transfer, and then whether the cost in the proposal matches the work proposed in the proposal. The proposals are not ranked on a cost basis, that is, those with less cost get a higher ranking. The cost assessment is to see if the money or the funds being requested matches the work being proposed. Turning to the next chart, to give you just a sense of what are the hallmarks of a competitive proposal. First is it has to address a real DOD environmental need. If it addresses specifically one of the topic areas in the external solicitations, then by definition it addresses a DOD environmental need, but we have defined those. For DOD organizations to submit proposals, it clearly has to be an environmental issue it addresses, not a logistics issue, not a construction issue, not just a cost issue, but one which has an impact on environment. Projects that have well-defined demonstration validation questions do much better in the solicitation. By that I mean that there is a technical, regulatory, or end-user issue which needs to be addressed before it can be implemented, that by conducting the demonstration and validating the cost performance of technology, it'll enable this technology to make the jump from a laboratory-based technology to one that can be implemented. We are obviously interested in technologies that provide significant benefit. That's benefit both in terms of cost, but benefit in terms of performance, and primarily environmental performance is our issue. They must be technically sound. We ask people to give significant, within the page limitation, technical descriptions so that we can assess what the technology is and give significant information about what the technical approach being proposed for the actual demonstration. The final chart there gives you our website again, where you can find information on this solicitation as well as all the other projects we fund. And the final chart, just thank you, and happy to answer any questions either on the phone or online that I can at this time. Andrea?
Jeff, we have two questions here. The first one, if the proposal is not selected, will an outbrief be performed and or an appeal process?
No. Given under a broad agency announcement or under a call within the government, we're not required to do that. We structured the pre-proposals to be very short, 5 pages, with only a estimate for what the cost is, no detailed costing is required. That allows people to quite easily submit pre-proposals. To do that, though, it doesn't allow us the time to respond with information to those who unfortunately have not been selected.
Next question. Can the demonstration occur at a non-DOD site if the technology would be applicable to DOD sites?
Let me spend a minute. It's a little subtle, the answer to that, because it depends on what you define as DOD site. We require the primary demonstration to be conducted at a site in which DOD is in some sense a responsible party. Obviously, all DOD facilities and bases fit that criteria. Formerly used defense sites fit that criteria. Places in which DOD may be one of many responsible parties fit that. We have what are called GOCOs, government-owned, corporate-operated industrial facilities where people do work as captive contractors of the Department of Defense. And we have original equipment manufacturers who have manufacturing lines, though in the private sector, are producing stuff which is solely for the DOD, such as military aircraft and such. We expect the demonstration to take place at a site like one of those. That does not mean that some part of the work may not take place, maybe take place someplace else, but the primary demonstration needs to take place at a DOD site, as I described just now.
Next question. It appears that a project addressing a weapons system and platform issue must be submitted by DOD. No BAA or federal submission. Is this correct?
That is correct. The projects we do in the weapon systems and platform address military hardware, either their maintenance in one of our, for example, shipyards or air logistics centers, or in one of our munitions factories, or again, in one of our original equipment manufacturer. These are very unique military systems, and our view is that a significant amount of the work has to be done by DOD personnel often. It is, if the technology is mature enough to go through a demonstration phase, then our expectation is that it has had some contact with DOD already. I encourage those who think that they have a technology appropriate to maybe send us an email, and we might suggest DOD contacts they can talk to see if they're interested in sponsoring it.
Next question. If the innovative technology has been used at non-DOD sites, but not yet at a DOD facility, is it eligible for funding?
There's no hard line there. The issue that comes up is what information prevents it from being currently used widely at DOD? Is there something about the DOD implementation which differs from, let's say, a commercial implementation? Is there lack of information or higher concern on risk in the Department of Defense manager that would prevent him unless he sees it in his environment. But if there is no information, whether it's technical, performance, or cost, which will differ, it's unlikely to vie very well in the competition.
Next question.
Has left the conference.
Are there any restrictions on who can work on the projects? Are foreign nationals allowed to participate?
Leanne Backhouse.
Has left the conference.
There are no restrictions on who can work on the project, but there may at times, depending on where the demonstration takes place, be restrictions on who can go to the site itself.
Has left the conference.
So we have funded people of multinationalities in other countries, but obviously entry onto a DoD facility depends on the specific facility and the specific individual.
Next question. Where can we find sample proposals of previously funded projects related to energy and building performance?
Proposals that are submitted to us are viewed as competition sensitive and therefore not provided to other individuals. Issues in energy is a relatively new topic that we have just started funding the last year or two. We will not provide cost of proposals, but you can look on our website for examples of brief descriptions of projects that we're starting in that area.
Next question, what does BAA stand for?
It's broad agency announcement. It is the Department of Defense and other agencies' term for solicitations to the private sector, where the call is of a broad nature as opposed to a request for proposals where you're asking for a specific service.
Next question. Does ESPCP place priority on funding new, tangible, implementable treatment technologies over decision aid tools that may assist with existing technology implementation?
I don't think we have a specific policy on that. We look to fund technologies which will have the broadest impact. These can be both direct remediation technologies or they can be decision tools. We're interested in demonstrating things which will have applicability at many sites and whose demonstration at maybe one or a handful of sites is sufficient to allow them to move to multiple sites later.
Next question. Upon reading the ESTCP topic areas, it seems that the DoD specifically calls for exposure/bioavailability tools, while the private sector and university call has no reference to them. Does this mean that the two calls are slightly different and that exposure bioavailability tools would not be welcomed if submitted through the university route?
The two calls are different. The DoD call is extremely broad. For management reasons, we narrow down the topics each year in the broad agency or for universities, for example. But I would urge you to read carefully the different topic areas because some of the things you mentioned are important technologies or processes for managing issues that we've discussed, such as groundwater contamination or in-situ management of sediments. We're not saying we're restricted to treatment technologies. We're interested in technologies or processes that support the cost-effective management of those issues.
Next question. Is it appropriate to update a proposal submitted in a previous call with new data and resubmit that in this call for proposals?
It is certainly appropriate, and we would encourage you to do it if you think it has matured enough to be appropriate for ESTCP now.
That covers the questions that have been submitted online. I'd like at this time offer the opportunity to those on the phone. If you have questions you'd like to ask verbally, please go ahead and do so.
Alfred Murphy.
Has left the conference.
If not, then I'd like to thank you for attending the seminar today. As stated earlier, under the...
Jeff Regal.
Okay,
has left the conference.
Sorry, Jeff. A couple more questions have come up. Let me read those. Does DoD fund analytical research, or does the proposed project need to have experimental components?
I'm not sure I fully understand the question, but let me take a stab at it. When we fund a demonstration project, we will fund 100% of the cost involved in doing the demonstration, if that's what the question is.
Next question, does DoD fund projects to investigators with physical disabilities?
Yes, certainly we will. We do not take that into consideration.
Next question. A reference was made by the speaker to look into what remediation technologies are currently being funded so as not to waste resources by suggesting technologies that are already being explored. Where is that information available?
On the ESTCP website, which is estcp.org, if you go under technology,
has joined the conference.
There's a list of all projects by focus area that we have funded in the past and are currently have ongoing funding. And so that's the easiest place to find details on all the projects we have and are funding.
That, again, ends the online questions. So as I was saying earlier, thank you for attending the seminar. Under the links to additional resources, you will find a link to the FY09 ESTCP solicitation, as well as a link for signing up for the CERT of ESTCP listserv. And the listserv I encourage you to look at because that does give just a few announcements a year that
has left the conference
when our solicitation is released.
I used to.
Has left the conference.
One more question popped up, Jeff, while I was talking. Have the pending 2008 projects been posted?
Information on them has not been posted. Some of their titles have been posted. They will be posted, all of them, in the near future, but it's a mix right now.
And I would just, this is Andrea Leeson, I would just like to encourage you to also go to the links page for the online feedback form. Also, I will remind you that the audio and this presentation will be archived for future reference. If you do have questions about the solicitations after this, please feel free to contact myself or Jeff via our email, which is on the seminar website. Thank you.
Thank you very much.